My name is Manuel Guariguata. I'm Environmental Affairs Officer at the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity here in Montreal. And I'll be giving a presentation on linkages between biodiversity and climate change. Basically, my talk will comprise four issues: how biodiversity links to climate change, what are the implications of these linkages, what are the main observed and projected impacts of climate change on biodiversity, the role that biodiversity plays in mitigating and adapting to climate change, and some conclusions based on the facts that I'll be presenting and some challenges for future research and action. First of all, let me remind you that, in fact, biodiversity is intimately linked to climate change. There's enough scientific evidence that biodiversity has a strong influence on the rate of ecosystem services. They regulate the flow, the rate of occurrence of pollination, for example, nutrient cycling, water purification, and also carbon sequestration. In other words, carbon sequestration is an ecosystem service that is directly influenced by the type of biodiversity present at any given time, at any given place. On the other hand, associated changes in biodiversity, in more specifically negative changes or disappearance of biodiversity, could further affect climate change. More specifically, if we deforest or if we degrade an ecosystem, the capacity of that site to absorb carbon and further help in mitigation of climate change can be considerably reduced. There is enough scientific evidence also that suggests that the more intact and the more integrity we have in an ecosystem, that is, an ecosystem with high diversity at the genetic, species, or ecosystem level, is more likely to adapt to climate change and climate variability than degraded ecosystems in general. Also, some components of biodiversity, specifically trees, plants, affect carbon sequestration, and therefore this is a very important link between biodiversity and climate change. These species can be chosen on a case-by-case basis to help to design appropriate mitigation and also adaptation projects or activities. There's a lot of published evidence, and every month, basically, we get a lot of new information on what is happening to ecosystems, to species, in the face of current climate change. I'll be giving a very brief summary of what the literature has been saying. On average, we are seeing that spring events are coming earlier. Leaf flushing, flowering, it's appearing on average about 2 to 3 days earlier per decade. And that has a lot of implications for migratory species, for example, because migratory species don't know exactly if leaf flushing is being occurring earlier. So there's a little bit of asynchrony in terms of what's going on at the spring event level and what and how species are responding to that alteration in resource availability. On the other hand, there is enough evidence. This is documented also in a very influential paper that came out 2 years ago, that species are in fact shifting. They are moving. There is enough evidence that says that on average they are moving around 6 kilometers per decade towards cooler temperatures, or either poleward or either upward. And of course, this has been done for a subset of species, but the evidence is very revealing. We also have evidence of increased frequency of pest and disease outbreak, especially in forests, and this is mostly due to warmer spring events and hotter summers, and that this is an event that is basically concentrated in temperate ecosystems. Increased incidence of coral bleaching, in some cases coral mortality, species extinctions, and the little picture you have on the right, it's perhaps the first documented case of species extinction directly related to climate change. This is the golden toad that disappeared since 1987 in the montane forests in Costa Rica. However, not everything is directly attributable to temperature. we have to be aware that climate has many ways upon which it can act on biodiversity. Of course, directly through increases in temperature, there are organisms which are not specifically adapted to warmer temperatures, so that can be a direct effect. Also, climate change can affect biodiversity in a negative way through indirect effects. For example, changes in intensity and frequency of disturbances, such as wildfires, hurricanes, and storms. And one good case is the excessively intense hurricane season we experienced this year in the Gulf of Mexico. Also, the risk of extinction on species is not uniform. In general, species with low population numbers, that is those that have not enough capital to recover after a severe disturbance, are in risk. Those with restricted habitats, for example, species that are confined to mountaintops and with limited climatic ranges are also at risk. At the ecosystem level, those most threatened will be coral reefs, as I mentioned, mangroves and other coastal wetlands, and high latitude or high altitude ecosystems such as mountaintops and also the Arctic, as we know. However, and I want to emphasize this, that in addition to climate change per se, biodiversity is going to be severely impacted due to interacting factors, and I'm listing here only a few of them: habitat fragmentation, cover change, diversion of water, pollution, soil degradation, uncontrolled harvesting, and spread of invasive alien species. In other words, climate change will be the driving force, but these issues will also interact in sometimes unknown ways and are expected to further impact and exacerbate the impact of climate change per se. I'm going to turn now to how biodiversity can help to design and implement mitigation and adaptation activities. And I'm going to refer to this report that was commissioned by the UNFCCC to the CBD, and that provides guidance or advice on the design and implementation of activities in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change and its Kyoto Protocol. One of the main findings of the report is that there are a large number of opportunities for mitigating climate change while enhancing the conservation of biodiversity. That's one of the main key findings of the report. Another important finding is that conservation, restoration, or establishment in degraded lands of biological diverse ecosystems can also contribute significantly to the design and implementation of important adaptation measures. In other words, biodiversity is a key component of these activities. The report also stresses two main facts: that afforestation and reforestation can have positive, neutral, or negative impacts on biodiversity. Not always it's going to be beneficial. And this is going to depend basically in the context where these activities are placed, the level of site degradation, and their location in the landscape. So with appropriate design considerations, these activities can have, as we expect or as we would like, positive impacts on biodiversity. The report also concludes that avoiding deforestation and forest degradation can provide substantial biodiversity benefits, of course, because we are maintaining integrity, in addition to mitigation of greenhouse emissions. And I'm going to give here a concrete example. Let's imagine that we are establishing a plantation in a degraded land. On the one hand, we're going to select species which are designed to fix carbon at a high rate. So we'll be sequestering carbon in the first place. We have the potential, once that plantation is established, of restoring critical ecosystem services such as watershed functions. We can also, with appropriate design considerations, connect isolated fragments in the landscape, if they exist, in order to allow for species migration. In other words, we are satisfying multiple needs at a given time. Mitigating climate change, and we're also adapting by allowing the biota to move in response to changes in temperature, which we know are occurring. So to wrap up and conclude, one thing that I also want to stress is that the planet has suffered extensive climate change episodes in the geological past, and these have occurred over considerable lengths of time. And ecosystems, on average, were able to adapt, migrate to these global changes in climate in the geological past. However, these migrations and these reorganizations occurred in scenarios that were not comparable to those that found today. In other words, not as fragmented and or degraded. What does that mean to managing biodiversity in the face of climate change? That we lack enough connectivity, and that's going to limit the capability of species to migrate and the ability of species to persist in today's fragmented and or degraded habitats. And that's one challenge that we need to take into account. And I'm putting that in as an example. These are three maps that relate to current patterns of global fragmentation of forest ecosystem. And the red basically says that these forest ecosystems are highly fragmented. In other words, if you want to manage biodiversity and help biodiversity move in response to shifting climate, you need to design appropriate strategies to facilitate movement of biodiversity, movement of species, and movement of entire ecosystems. And that's a great challenge. That said, it is one of the great challenges and opportunity how to manage biodiversity in a changing climate, in addition to all the multiple pressures I stressed out, and in the face of a landscape that is heavily fragmented and degraded. For intensively managed ecosystems, for example, agricultural ecosystems, managing biodiversity, it's relatively straightforward compared to more natural, less managed ecosystems. You can switch varieties in response to changes in climate, but if you're managing a park, if you're managing a reserve, if you're managing a population of migratory species, that is not that easy. So you have to either take an approach for minimizing change, that is making sure that your reserve is big enough so that can buffer these impacts, or if your reserve is small enough, or if you're managing migratory species, you need to facilitate this change across these degraded or otherwise fragmented landscapes. And for that, we'll need at least two important tools. One is increased understanding of what are the current species adaptations to climate change. In other words, what are their climatic tolerance? How can we know more about their current adaptability in order to predict how they will behave, and in order to allow for more flexible design approaches. Also, developing models that take into account current patterns of land use, habitat fragmentation. In other words, we can predict how an animal is going to move through changes in temperature, but it's more difficult to model how an animal or an ecosystem is going to move through a landscape that is not always suitable for these type of movement to occur. Thank you very much.